Welcome to Talking About Singing, where we pit albums against each other in the bloodiest competition known to man. To my north is Brendan Haley, knife sharpened, bloodlust in his eyes. Brendan, how's it going?
Wait, what? Are we live?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, doing great.
Yeah, good to have you here in the studio.
I'm here, present, both physically and mentally. Yeah. Let's go.
Good. To my east, Dylan Schemenauer. Hit or miss here, physically and mentally. Dylan, what kind of day is it? You here? You gauged?
Oh, I'm here. Yeah,
I'm here. Cocked and loaded? Are you Jason Statham?
Mentally, but not physically.
Okay, all right. I can work with this. We got some battles today, guys. How do we feel about last week? Were there any major losses that we feel deserve a moment of silence?
Yeah, every single one of my albums. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. We killed all of Brendan. good teamwork, Dylan. We are eliminating Brendan. I think, if I remember correctly, ASAP Yames also lost both of his. So, you know, fingers crossed moving into the next quadrant. You can stick around. But, you know, there's only one winner. So what are you going to do?
That's right.
Today, we are pairing up Igor by Tyler, the Creator, versus Father of the Bride by Vampire Weekend. And then moving on to Hi, This is Flume by Flume. Is He Real by IDK. Going up next, Injury Reserve by Injury Reserve versus The Sailor by Rich Brian. And then finally, in that quadrant, Norman fucking Rockwell versus Even in the Tremor. All right, let's kick it off. Just one second here, as is tradition.
Is this an updated thing that we got?
It depends on if you're looking on the updated one. Final 2019 AOTY.
I'm on it. Peyton's on it. I don't see you, Dylan.
We are all on it. Don't worry, Dylan. I'm going to roll a d20 here to see who goes first for the day, as is now part of the show. Been playing a lot of D&D. This one's Brendan. 18. Ooh, very nice. Dylan with a nat 1. Unfortunate. Yeah. And I got a 7. All right, Brendan. Igor versus Father of the Bride.
Let's go.
What do you got?
Let's go.
I wonder.
Father of the Bride is actually really, it's fresh in my mind. And it reminded me of, I was watching football game like last Sunday. And there was a commercial for an insurance company. It was like, I don't know, like Liberty Mutual or something like that. And they had like these two people who were so excited to be like getting this fucking loan. And in the background, while this was going on, they were playing Tears for Fears' song, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, which felt like such an inappropriate song. Such a weird thing to have in like an insurance commercial. But like, if you only listened to it and like didn't listen to the words, it makes total sense. It's a nice, fun, happy, upbeat song. And that is basically what this entire album is. When it started off with the opening track, I was like, oh great, this is an Apple commercial just waiting to happen. And then, like, immediately the next track, Harmony Hall, like, I was like, oh, it's, you know, exactly like that, the previous song I mentioned, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, but, like, they fleshed that out, that idea out into a whole album, and Vampire Weekend basically did that into their entire career. And I came away from this album really pleasantly surprised. I really, I dug it. I liked the like cute textures on it. There's a lot of like meticulous thought that obviously went into everything. So I was, you know, going into this, it wasn't as much of a blowout as I had anticipated it being. But, you know, Igor, I fucking love that album. Everything I said about the meticulous layering, the production value is there. It's super cool. I don't know. Tyler, the Creator, just keeps evolving in ways that I don't know. I can't fathom it, from being banned from New Zealand and saying kill people, burn shit, and fuck school, to wearing Kangol hats and socks and sandals, but in like such a good, I don't know, maturation. This album is that encapsulated. Loved it. I am going with Igor. We all knew it.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. No upsets here. I did have a very similar experience with the Vampire Weekend album, though, where, like, on first glance, it's like, good lord, how many more times do I have to listen to them say baby? Oh, man. Just overly sweet sound. But, like you said, on second listen, on maybe further inspection, just some real sad lyrics. And it reminded me of a different song, Brendan.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the Sure I'm Glad It's Raining song that Ernest P. Worrell sings in Ernest Goes to Camp?
Who can forget that?
Yeah. Nationally, no.
No, I mean, I know, but for those, you know... Those
oh,
that,
do you actually know?
Those, no. No, I don't know.
It's one of those things where I wasn't really sure if it was, like, a known thing or just a known thing in my childhood. Like, Mr. Bean is widely known, right?
Yeah.
Ernest is kind of a Mr. Bean-ish type, but at one point he just basically stops the movie, good lord, and sings a very sad song for a while. So, yeah,
okay.
A lot of feels going into this Father of the Bride album. Better than I initially thought, but, man, Igor is going to be a juggernaut this year, I think. Maybe a little prediction there. Flower Boy made it pretty far. Igor. I don't know if I like it more than Flower Boy or not yet, but it is definitely some of Tyler, the Creator's best work. Yeah, the evolution is insane. Vampire Weekend, you put up a good fight. Not quite close enough to make an upset, though. I'm also going Igor. And it's moving on. Dylan, how would you have voted?
I would have voted Igor.
Yeah?
Clean sweep. Yeah.
Nice. What's your current stance on Tyler, the Creator? You kind of go back and forth, I feel like.
Yeah. I heavily believe that he's trolling about 98% of the time that he does anything.
Yeah, that's fair.
So,
like the $50 candles, is that what you're talking about?
Man.
$50 candles?
After shipping, it was close to $75. I'm not fucking with you. I was going to be like, oh, how funny. I'm going to get that for the meme. And then, like, the shipping just killed me.
Oof. Dang. That's brutal.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that, yeah.
He's on his own path. But, yeah, I think for the most part, I support him. I don't know. He's something else. I do like that he's kind of fully embraced the pop side. He's not trying to dip his toes in both. I don't think Igor, by any stretch, could be a rap album.
No.
Yeah, no.
Flower Boy was a little bit of both, but I think Igor, he's full pop now. Or whatever. Alternative, I guess, maybe we want to call it for now.
Yeah.
Igor's moving on. We'll discuss it more later. Next up, Hi, This is Flume by Flume versus Is He Real by IDK. Is He Real really started making the rounds, when did that come out? I feel like it was a while ago, a few months at least.
September,
yeah. And it immediately got a lot of buzz, a lot of good praise. I feel like most of it was deserved. I don't know if it's making my top album of the year list for rap albums, but really good, really strong showing by someone I've never even heard of really before this. I don't know, IDK. Ha, I don't know if IDK has really done a lot before this. I didn't recognize the name from features or anything, but I just went into it. It's a solid rap album, quick to the meat. Solid, what, 30, 35 minutes? A real enjoyable listen. And then, Hi, This is Flume, mixtape, really shouldn't even have any business showing up in this bracket, but dang, it's a good mixtape. It's so good. Flume is bizarre and weird. His Twitter is weird. He's just kind of a presence in the universe that no one can really comprehend. But it's so good. He's doing stuff with production that is not being done a whole lot, and not in like a copyable way. I couldn't listen to a song and say, oh, that's obviously Flume production, because it's always different. He's always doing something weird and fun and crazy, and that is this album. I'm giving it to Hi, This Is Flume by Flume. Dylan, all right, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I gotta go with Flume as well. Flume is just, if I would marry Flume.
Just full stop, you'd marry Flume.
Yep. No homo.
Well.
Well, I think by definition.
What if you like an I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry situation?
Never seen that.
Yeah, film. Nobody has. It's terrible. It's
what?
Not a good
Adam
movie.
Adam Sandler, Kevin James, Jessica Alba? No.
Beale?
Beale, yes.
Yeah, the Justin one. The yeah, Minnesota zone. Ely zone. Shout out
really?
Ely.
I did not know she was from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Huh. The more you know. Brendan, how would you have voted?
I really wasn't feeling either of these albums all that much, to be honest with you. I especially don't get the Is He Real love. I thought it went from being... It had some good moments. It really did. I really dug... Porno was fun. That was cool. I think I really liked Alone as well, but most of this album was just, I don't know. I'm looking at the Wikipedia here, you know? Wikipedia isn't the end-all saying of, like, it's not like a definitive, you know, source, but it has it listed as conscious hip-hop, and that's totally what he's going for on this. It's like a meditation on, I guess, his spirituality. I think my gripe with the album really can be best exemplified by, like, the last track, Julia, which kind of ends with him having the classic stoner thought of, like, bro, I know this is blue. How do we know that we both perceive blue as being the same way? If we can't even know that, how can we know if there's, you know, a God or not? Which is, like, such a lazy and just, I mean, wrong. That's just, like, a falsifiable thing. And, I don't know. I think that is kind of that sort of thought process is sort of, like, the symptom. Or not the symptom. The main cause of, I guess, I don't know. I didn't really pick up what he was putting down on this album. From, like, a conceptual standpoint, I thought the concept was, you know, cool and, you know, necessary for him to, you know, make that. But it just, I don't know. There wasn't a moment on there that I was really, like, into what the theology of, you know, IDK or whatever. Didn't really care for it.
Yeah, I totally feel that. But what's up with this Flume hatred? What? We were a Flume family.
I like Flume. I don't know. I thought it was okay. I found myself not really that invested in it at times. It's just okay.
Wow.
And I think out of all the albums we've reviewed for the bracket thus far, yeah, two of the weaker ones, in my opinion.
I get what you're saying.
I would have picked Flume, though. I don't think I ever said that, but I would have picked Flume as well.
All right. I can see how Is He Real would be hit or miss. I was just kind of in the middle. I wasn't too polarized by it either way. I'm not going to be singing its praises, you know, in a couple weeks from now when I've forgotten about it. But it wasn't a bad way to spend a half hour.
Sure. There's some really good, I mean, especially, like, production moments on it that I really dug.
There you have it. Igor and Hi, This Is Flume pairing up for next week. For now, Injury Reserve by Injury Reserve versus The Sailor by Rich Brian. Dylan, why don't you kick us off?
Well, I think I'm going to choose. Okay. I
talk it out, man. Talk it out.
Yeah. You don't have to commit right away. Just circle back around.
Yeah. The reason I'm choosing one of these is because I hate the other.
Oh, that's such a good fucking teaser, Dylan. I love it.
I genuinely don't know which is which.
No other reason, but I really, really hate Rich Brian, so I'm gonna have to go with injury reserve.
Wow.
Yeah, my hate is very, very strong for Rich Brian.
Is this a turnaround too? Because I feel like you were feeling his last album.
I don't know. I don't remember.
What happened? Did he like pants you or something? What?
No. No.
Why the hate?
I think just overall, I'm not a very big fan of like. I don't even know what you'd call it, like. Parody music. Not really parody music, but like,
I get that.
Not serious.
Yeah.
Not so serious music.
I know what you're saying with like his tone and all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was that song where he was talking about like,
like my dad's a lawyer or something like that?
Yeah, there was one that like veered into him being like just ruminating on like the last year or whatever, and there was a part where he like, he might have said he shit in his pants or he said something about there was a food poisoning element to it. That kind of started off a little, you know, silly, a little tongue-in-cheek. I could see that. He's kind of a meme.
Yeah, yep, exactly. And, it's not that I don't know. Every once in a while that stuff's okay, but, like, not more often than not, I just won't play that music at all or won't feel, like, when I don't feel other music, I'm like, oh, I just don't feel like listening to it. But when I don't feel like listening to Rich Brian, it's like I hate. Like
it's like a definitive. I mean?
Yeah,
you've been there and you know you don't like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's an official vote for injury reserve then.
Yeah.
Yes.
But through the process of hatred.
The process of hatred.
Brendan,
how are
you feeling?
Yeah, I love the teaser that he had leading up into that. It was so good. I would disagree, ultimately. I really like the Rich Brian album, The Sailor. I hadn't listened to it up until, you know, we were going to review it, and I was really glad that it ended up being on this list, because I really fucking loved it. I thought it started out a little slow, got off to a bit of a slow start. Yellow is, I would say that's the weakest track on the album. That just made me, that song just made me anxious. It sounded like it was like a stoner jam with like the atmospheric, you know, kind of hazy instrumental on that, but just tweaked a little bit. You know, they just had this normal thing. It was in that uncanny valley, and I was uncomfortable. But then it goes right into Kids and Drive Safe, which, like, you know, the 4 or 5 spots have got the cleanup, you know, hitter on that, and those two tracks were really fucking good. And I think it really, from there on out, the momentum just carries, and you get solid song after solid song. And I really like seeing the maturation of Rich Brian, the change in you know, style from that stick to his previous album, his debut album, to this one. I thought it was really cool. Yeah, I really liked it. The Injury Reserve album, on the other hand, for me, I love their style. I love the production. I love the cohesiveness of the group. But this one, to me, it felt like it was good. It just needed a little bit more to put it over the top. So yeah, for that reason, I'm going with The Sailor by Rich Brian.
Wow. Tied up. First tie of the day. This is tougher than I thought it would be, because if you, before we started this whole thing, were like, Peyton, injury reserve or Rich Brian, I would be saying, oh, obviously injury reserve is going to have the better album, right? They're dope. All their stuff is great. All the EPs, Drive It Like It's Stolen, was so good. Obviously, right? Right? Ah, I don't know. Coming in to listen to these, Injury Reserve didn't really have a whole lot of songs I'm coming back to. The production is constantly stellar. The production is always amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, some of the verses kind of fell flat. I think the opening verse of the whole album rhymed rhyme with time and mind, like real just beginner rap sort of stuff. And it's not a great way to open an album with the same rhymes everyone rhymes with. I think Injury Reserve could have been a lot more polished. Maybe I'm a little biased because I wasn't really feeling Rich Brian's last album that I totally forgot the name of. And this was a huge step up for him. The Sailor, good album. Uh-huh. An enjoyable listen. A Misfire by Injury Reserve and a big step up for Rich Brian. I'm going The Sailor. Yeah, Sailor's nice. Moving on.
Amen was the album from before, by the way.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. I could see the cover, but I was like, it's just not in my brain.
Excellent artwork, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I am as surprised by that as can be. It's wild to say no to Injury Reserve and move along Rich Brian, but you know, he earned it.
That's right. The first real, I guess, upset of the day, I would say.
Yeah. What's the higher seed? I don't have the seeding in front of me there. Injury Reserve. Oh, that has to be a one seed based on where it is. Yeah, Igor and Injury Reserve are the one seeds.
Huh.
But yeah, Sailor, kicking it out of here. Up next, Brendan, starting us off. Norman fucking Rockwell versus Even in the Tremor by Lady Lamb.
This one's pretty easy for me. Lady Lamb album... really nice. It's a really sweet album. It hits me like something that I could put on to fall asleep to, study to. It's just a real nice album. I don't mean that as like a backhanded compliment. I mean that in the sense that it is like, it's engaging to a point that doesn't become, stressful or really having a different sort of stake in it. It's nice. It's just pleasant music. Norman fucking Rockwell, on the other hand, is a trip. It's got emotional ups and downs. It's got sonic ups and downs in terms of it's just a dynamic album. It's long, it's meandering, in a lot of ways is this year's equivalent to, I think, pure comedy, at least in terms of how I conceptualize it. So, yeah, I'm going with Norman fucking Rockwell.
A vote for Norman fucking Rockwell. Yeah, I agree with most of what you said about Even in the Tremor. I think it's a little bit more engaging than passable.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not what you were saying. I liked it a lot, more than I thought I would.
Mm-hmm.
And while it is enjoyable, and I find myself singing the titular track's melody quite a bit, it's going up against a brutal competitor here. I mean, Norman fucking Rockwell, that album will cut you, it will bleed you dry, it will fill you back up and send you on your way. It's just a whole lot going on. Even in the Tremor is very quality. Very happy that got put on our radar. And I can go back. Very happy I can go back to that in the future and listen to it a ton more and just enjoy it. The singer's phenomenal. But I mean, man, Norman fucking Rockwell has to get the point. It is as a team to watch? What I wish I knew more basketball terms. What's like a juggernaut synonym?
Like
basketball.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, all right.
It's MVP.
It's a juggernaut. It's it's a machine. Brutal.
It's Giannis.
It's killing Giannis?
Dynasty.
It's Giannis. A dynasty. All of those and so much more. Norman fucking Rockwell's gonna move on, but Dylan, how would you have voted?
I would have voted Norman fucking Rockwell. It feels a lot more grand, a lot more big and just like heavy overall.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the tremor, makes me feel like almost like feminine. Like I need to like grab my man boobs and squeeze them. And
what a weird critique.
You feel them, you know?
I don't.
I'm gonna alienate you with that take. I'm not sure what's going on.
What about even in the tremor makes you feel too feminine, but Lana Del Rey doesn't?
That's not like, if it makes me feel like I just need to like rub my body.
Okay.
In like a sensual way?
Yeah, like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I get what you're saying. Right. I get what you're saying. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to re-listen to it. Weird. I'm going to have to listen to it again with like, I'm going to keep that in mind. When I go back and listen to it.
Dylan rubbing himself, yeah.
I picture him dancing like Jimmy Jr. when he slow dances by himself. I picture Dylan doing that to this album. Do you know what I'm talking about, Dylan?
Yeah. Okay. No, but like I don't know what you're talking about, but I can kind of picture, and it's, yeah.
Just all ass.
Yep.
All right, well, there you have it. Norman fucking Rockwell, moving on. That finishes lower left side. Is that another Lana Del Rey song? I feel like that's a lyric. Anyway, let's take a break, you know? Let's take a little breather before we get into our half and continue the bloodshed. Who's got some hot takes? I got one. I got one at the ready, but, you know, I like to open the floor. Anybody got any hot takes that are burning?
Hot take. Tinder needs to allow unlimited likes.
You need to pay for that, don't you?
Yeah.
All right, so I've never used Tinder.
Yeah.
I did not know there were likes. It's not like a social media, well, is there?
It's like hearts, I guess.
Yeah, they're swiping right or whatever.
Yeah, swiping right is a heart or it's a like.
That means you're so interested, you know?
Yeah.
It's more like a finger gun, if anything.
Yeah, it's like... Yeah.
Did they recently like put a cap on how many swipes you could do? Because I feel like I remember
that's
sitting
been
in
a
class.
Thing.
Really?
Been a thing.
Wild.
Yeah.
When did you get fucking wait?
I remember sitting in class and there was a guy next to me just all hour just swiping right.
Like every
probably paid.
Yeah, he did not look at any pictures or anything.
That's awesome.
Right. It was organic chemistry. He never looked at the board.
That sounds pretty, I don't know, difficult, that class, so, man, must be some kind of prodigy.
Yeah, I didn't see him at the final, so
I'm
not sure about that.
All right.
Shout out that one guy from OChem. Hope you're doing well and you found someone.
He probably has, like, a, I don't know, wife and kids now.
Wow.
Tinder. Tinder does that.
Really? And how are the wife and kids, Brendan?
Which family? I've got multiple families.
The ones that listen to the podcast.
Oh. I try to keep them away from that.
Oh. All right. Well, Brendan Jr., little BJ, get out of here.
Yeah, I'm raising them very, not really specifically religious, more like a cult. Yeah.
So not like religious, but you are sheltering them from everything secular?
I mean, kind of. I'm teaching him that horses aren't real.
Oh, okay.
No particular reason, just, I don't know, what would it be like if a kid grew up not believing that horses exist?
So just mild forms of abuse.
Yeah, right? Like, I guess the biggest form of abuse, if he didn't know that horses were real, he probably wouldn't listen to this Orville Peck album, Pony, am I right?
No.
Segway! No. It's a segue.
Too quick of a segue.
Too quick.
I don't know if I have any hot takes.
All right, I got a...
Actually, I do have a hot take, but I don't know if I want to put it on here. It seems in bad taste.
Oh, well, I have kind of a maybe in bad taste hot take. I'm not sure. I don't think cancel culture is real anymore.
No?
No, because the most viewed Vevo channels came out, and guess who's number one?
Ariana Grande.
No. I think she might have been number one female, but number one, 2019, most views on Vevo. Who got it?
Chris Brown? I don't know.
Chris Brown.
Breezy.
How does this happen? Has he put out music? Who's listening to the music?
Has he put out music? He just, like, released a 30-track album this past year. He's releasing a deluxe version of that same album that has 45 songs.
Wild.
I think he's totally playing the numbers game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. But, like, the next time someone makes the argument that, like, oh, poor Louis C.K., you gotta watch his special, because, you know, he got the short end of the stick with cancel culture, am I right? Like, no, I'm sure he's doing fine. Chris Brown's fine. They're not going to miss a couple people not listening because they're not great people. I don't know. I was very surprised by the Chris Brown thing. And shame on all of us,
that is surprising.
Guess.
That's surprising for more reasons than Chris Brown being a bad person. I mean, it's not Ed Sheeran. It's not, I don't know, Lil Nas. He had a few big songs. But, you know, they're like superstars who are way bigger than Chris Brown is. I mean, Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide. He's not pulling in the worldwide views. That's shocking. I mean... For a lot of reasons, it's really surprising that Chris Brown was the most streamed Vevo artist.
Yeah.
But who even goes on Vevo anymore, you know?
That I thought of that, too. Maybe it's the demographic of Vevo YouTube watchers that correspond to Chris Brown fans.
Mm.
Or he's, like, probably the only one still on Vevo.
But also, I think it just goes to show how... Like, I try to make an effort to not exist in a little bubble with a bunch of people that agree with me, but no matter how hard you try, you just get little reminders that, like, social media is not the real world. Like, you talking to your friends does not correlate to the general public.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, go ahead.
That might not be a hot take, but it's just important to remember. This is a PSA, not a hot take.
I feel like that cancel culture never really, I feel like it ever was. I think we had in 2017, like, that was a real, conscious thing. Like, we, you know, can control what is, you know, who is popular by how much we, you know, do this. And I think it's kind of like the same thing with people boycotting, like, Keurig or whatever, you know?
And what did Keurig do?
That was a political thing, but people are, long story short, people are smashing their Keurigs and they, you know, went out and bought more. It's like we kind of get outraged for a little bit and then forget it ever happened.
Hmm. Yeah. And things I don't think get canceled really. Not as much as, like, I don't know. I think I was also thinking of Bill Burr's last stand up special that was just like complaining about cancel culture and how dangerous it is. It's like, is it? I feel like it's not really that dangerous, even if you're a comedian or an artist or anything.
Every single... Go ahead, Dylan.
I think it's more, like, exposed. You're getting exposed. I don't know. I'd probably still watch Louis C.K.'s stand-up if he came out with one, a new one. Maybe.
Yeah.
I can't tell you that I will, and I can't tell you that I won't, because... Like, if somebody's like, oh, man, that new one's really good, then I might watch it.
Also, I think it kind of depends on, like, what corner of the world you exist in. Like Louis C.K. in comedy, I feel like you go on Netflix, there are a million things that are like, oh, triggered, trigger warning, are you triggered? You know, like specials like that, where being anti-PC and having the mindset that, you know, people who are oppressed are the people who are being, I don't know, I guess canceled or whatever, that those people in that corner are less likely to, I don't know, actually have that affect them in the, like, in the way that it affected, say, Amir Van, who, yeah. What's his career now? What's the career of Brand New, the singer from that? What's the career of shit? I loved their album, and then their singer turned out to be just a garbage person.
Hookworms, yeah.
Yeah, what happened to that? You know, I think it kind of depends on that. You know, your fans will hold you to a different standard.
I don't know, man. I will go onto like the Brockhampton wiki every now and then, or like the Hip Hop Heads subreddit, and people freaking love Amir Van. I think if anything, his whole issue that came up and whatever, that only made him stronger. Like, I have not seen one negative comment about Amir. Everything is like, we need him back. I saw him at a show. I hope they get the band back together, which is, I'm not trying to give my take on it, but it is wild that not a single person on Reddit, you know, which might be a certain demographic too, has any problem with Amir.
I think that might, you know, my perception of that might also speak to your earlier point about it being basically the world you choose to live in, the world you surround yourself with. That I didn't even see that.
Yeah, there's nothing but love for Amir. And I'm sure you go on to certain sections of Twitter and there's nothing but hatred. And it's, no matter what side you're on, you can just find that echo chamber.
I don't think, do it.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of, I don't hear people talking about him.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Brockhampton's fine without him.
Yeah, I mean, the bulk of whatever was addressed. There's an interview with Amir that he did with, was it The Breakfast Club? Something like that? Radio Sway, show? Sway, yeah.
Yeah, which that, was, I think that's what brought it into my feed a lot.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Make better music. That's all I have to say. I listened to your EP and it just wasn't good. We forgave Michael Jackson. He was, like, poster child of doing bad, bad things.
Right, you know? If you suck and your music sucks, then that's just on you. Make one of them not suck.
It sounds like a personal problem, Amir Van.
Right.
You know, I'm not invested in you feeling, you know, sad. I don't care. I don't care.
That brings up, like, kind of like a point. How we kind of, I still listen to Michael Jackson. I still like his stuff, even though he did a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think I could go back and watch fucking Bill Cosby anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I couldn't watch him in a movie or in a show at all.
I agree with that. I feel the same way. I think it's interesting how we somewhat arbitrarily can draw the line.
Maybe it's because music is kind of, it's like almost separated from the person a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, you don't see them.
Yeah.
But question, when you like hear Michael Jackson, like a Michael Jackson song playing, you do think about it. You do think like, oh yeah. He's kind of a, you know, predator. But it's not to the point where you're like, yeah, I'm not going to listen to this anymore. It doesn't fully, enter the equation that it just ruins the experience for you. At least that's what it's like for me with Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I think I'm probably pretty similar. It's the same way I feel about, like, normal people, though. Like, I don't know why the argument is out there that, like, oh, because they're artists, we should give them a pass because of the stuff they do. Like, there are people that I just don't like because of things they did, but I'm I can have dinner with them, you know, like I can see them and just do my own thing. It's not like, it's not like I'm so triggered. I think as much as people like to say people who cancel culture are triggered, I guess. I'm a woke social justice warrior now. I've put myself on that side of the fence.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's Brendan, you want to talk about some horses?
Yeah, sure. Let's pony versus morbid stuff.
Who started So, do I start this one? I can't remember. So, Brendan, Dylan, Peyton,
yep.
Brendan. No, me.
Wait.
I start Dylan. This one.
Okay.
Yeah, you start.
Peyton, go.
Peyton.
Yes. Pony. Orville Peck. Morbid stuff. Pup. A lot of peas in this one. Morbid stuff. My pick. I think it was my last fifth seed pick. Great punk album. A lot of good stuff on there. The opening line, I was bored as fuck, thinking about some morbid stuff. Like, if anyone I've slept with is dead. Solid opener. Tells you everything you need to know about the album. More good stuff follows. Really enjoyable. I like punk more than I ever thought I'd like punk. Maybe there's a renaissance going on. Maybe there's so little of it that what does get through is quality. I don't know. But there's a lot of good punk out there. Pony, Orville Peck. Nice, slow, country, balance, deep voice. A masked figure, Orville Peck is. A lot of great vocal work, a lot of depth to the lyrics. Makes you feel a lot. I think it makes you feel more, and it makes you feel deeper than morbid stuff. So as much as my competitive streak is screaming at me not to vote against my own album, I gotta give it to Pony. It's just, it's no contest. Morbid stuff, you had a good run, but yeah, getting trampled by the pony.
Nice. Dylan? All three of us have at one point voted against our own album. That's being impartial.
Absolutely.
So, I hadn't heard of any of these albums before.
We started the year talking about morbid stuff, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, did we?
I think we all did that episode, yeah.
I have a short memory. But Pony is pretty interesting. It's a very interesting album, especially some of the visuals on YouTube. Very weird and very, very different. Almost a little too weird for me. Like, it's just a little more out of my bounds of what I would just throw on randomly. Morbid stuff, on the other hand, I think is a little bit just more my style. It's got like guitars that cut through. It's more the production's more dry, whereas Pony is more like you're saying, it's more like ballads and sort of ambient. Morbid stuff is like just hits you like a rock, and I like that when I'm listening to stuff. So I'm going to go with Morbid Stuff.
Wow, tying it up.
All right.
Brendan, how you feeling?
Oh, man. All right, I'll start off talking about Morbid Stuff. Morbid Stuff is an awesome album. It, I think, like, the evolution of pop punk has come to a point where there's a sort of self-awareness to, I guess, while still being earnest, while still having like a sense of humor about it. The album is awesome because it delivers in like a biting way that isn't too, angsty to a point of it being just like, I don't know, full of itself. It's a fun album. It has attitude. It has a lot of personality. It's really cool. I think it does about as, you know, outstanding of a job as you can get from something that stays solely within its own boundaries. The thing I love about Pony, on the other hand, is that it is so fluid. I think it's such a fresh take on you know, a long-standing genre, especially when you view it in context of a lot of other, you know, big country acts that are coming out right now. It sounds really cool. It has a sort of like characteristic about it being like true to like the spirit of country, or at least Orville Peck's take on that. It has a lot of like old feel to it, and that's something that I really, you know, latch onto, which is cool for it being, you know, from, you know, a Canadian's perspective. His take on, you know, country music and, you know, older like 50s, 60s, like rockabilly-esque too. It's really refreshing. I really dig it. I love the voice. I love the bits of personality that'll come out here. I love the line about, you know, this town's always bored me and girl, or deer that's including you. Fucking love that line. And that sort of style comes across a lot on the album. So yeah, I picked Pony. I'm sticking with Pony.
Sticking with the Pony. I like what you said about how it feels very country, but not in like a pandering way. Like, it is so steeped in, you can tell he just loves country music and he made just a pinnacle country album, but it's not like drinking beer on a gravel road with the boys kind of peak country album. It's unique and very reminiscent all at the same time.
For sure. I watched an interview that he was doing. It was like a what's in my bag sort of thing. And it was like talking about these not really country artists. He was talking about, I think, X, the band X, not, you know, the rapper. And talking about how, like, their take on music was just, you know, outlaw. And I think he has a style, but rooted in that is a sort of mindset that he'll, like, pick and attached to it. I think it's more about, yeah, like I said, the mindset.
Yeah, Pony, that's going to be a tough one too. A real juggernaut, as it were. Next up, Dylan, start us off with a little Zoo versus Mirrorland discussion.
Boy, this is a tough one. I mean, yeah. I already know who I'm going to pick, but I don't want either of these albums to go away because I really like both of them. Denzel Curry with Zoo. Man, oh my gosh, Denzel Curry is so good. It's insane. It's so insane how good he is. He's got, like, just the sound. And he knows how to do it very, very well. Mirrorland, on the other hand, man, what a great little album that was. Had some really just like crazy vocal performances for like rap, I guess, vocal performances, like just and crazy choruses and just really good songs in general that I still listen to this day. But I'm gonna have to give it to Denzel Curry. He's way too good, and I think this is one of his best albums to date. He just keeps getting better. It's crazy. So Zoo.
Which of these albums was yours, Dylan? Was it Zoo?
Yes. I wanted both of them, I'm pretty sure. But yes, Zoo.
You snagged Zoo, and the next round I snagged Mirrorland.
Okay. Is it me?
Yes, point for Zoo.
My Brandon? Say. Ah, oh, man. I also enjoyed Mirrorland. I wouldn't call it a little album, though. This album is long as hell. About an hour long. The Denzel Curry album is, you know, less than half of that. And I think in that half-hour runtime, I think it accomplishes more than Earth Gang does in their hour-long album. Still an awesome album. Denzel Curry, though, on the other hand, yeah, he's just got it. He's totally in his bag on this. He puts together just catchiness. He's got hooks. He's got beats. He's got a number of different like personalities or like characters that he'll do that he just pulls on, and it's almost like having a, you know, different featured artist. If you got Denny Cascade in there, or if you got Zeltron 6 Billion, it's, you know, he's going for a different sound, and I think it's really cool. And yeah, awesome album. I'm going with Zoo as well.
Zoo moving on. Yeah, I also would have went with Zoo, even though I picked Mirrorland again. Mirrorland, maybe the one edge it might have over Zoo is that I do feel like I'm entering just this world in a way that I don't feel with Zoo. Zoo is so good, just front to back. Every song hits. Very few things I would change about it, or even dare to think about changing. Mirrorland has some filler with an hour-long rap album, but it's so good. There's a lot of good stuff in there, a lot of great features. Maybe one and two top rap albums of the year for me.
Huh.
Not, I don't know, rap was kind of slow this year, but definitely up there. Looking back on it, gotta give it to Zoo. Denzel Curry, killing it, as always. A real sad battle, but a clear victor for sure.
Mm.
All right, Brendan, let's talk about some Brockhampton again. Ginger versus Hollywood's Bleeding by Post Malone.
All Brendan, right.
How you going?
Another year, another Brockhampton album.
Only one? Yeah.
What was that?
I said only one album?
Yeah, right. We need at least, we need two more. We need like the Spice Trilogy. We need Scary and we need Sporty to go along with Ginger.
Boo.
But yeah, no. Yeah, bad joke aside. Ginger is it's awesome. It's a great album. And it's so good to be able to, you know, have Brockhampton really not necessarily return to form, but regroup and get something out there that is totally their own and very cohesive from, you know, start to end. I don't really think there's really any filler. That's not true. If You Pray Right would be the only song on this album that is not outstanding, and that was the first single for some reason. Yeah, it's got hooks, it's catchy, the beats are awesome. Dearly Departed is a slow burn, just incendiary fucking bop. Love it. Post Malone's Hollywood's Bleeding, it's a good album. It's got a handful of good songs, and the songs that are on there that I really like, I've kept coming back to. They're super catchy. Saint-Tropez, awesome. Wow, which is like 2 years old at this point, still coming back to that. Internet. Yeah, it's a lot of like pretty solid, you know, tracks off of this album, but there's also a lot of filler to the point where it really ruins it, in my opinion, as a full album. I can definitely come back to a handful of these songs and really enjoy it, but I couldn't really see myself listening to this all the way through for like you know, any reason that wasn't like reviewing it or something. So I'm going with Brockhampton Ginger.
Vote for Ginger. This is another sad one. I really like this lower right quadrant. Our picks here are very good. I really like Hollywood's Bleeding. A lot of it. I really like a lot of Hollywood's Bleeding. But yeah, there's definitely some songs that if you played for me, I'd be like, oh, was that on there? I don't remember, because I'm thinking about the Halsey feature. I'm thinking about the... Oh, shoot. Not Marilyn Manson. Who is the big guy?
Ozzy,
yeah. God. Ozzy Osbourne featured. Great features that are very memorable, even though I got the wrong name. Post Malone, having fun as always, but getting a little introspective, which I really like. The Internet, very simple song. Very sad. Very sad to hear Post Malone feeling like he can't go on the Internet. That's where Post Malone belongs. And, you know, There's more depth to this Post Malone album than a lot of the other ones, I think. And it's really good, very enjoyable. As a whole, I think Ginger might work better as an album. It does have those emotional depth moments. And when you put it in the timeline of Brockhampton, I think it's a very cool album. I think it's very much in the way that rap albums go, even though this is their least rap album, just kind of reflecting on who they are, what are they doing, what's happened, which you get almost in real time with a Brockhampton album, which is kind of cool. I gotta give it to Ginger, even though I'm having a lot of fun with Post Malone. I think I'm coming back to the singles more often there than I am the album. So Ginger's moving on, but Dylan, how'd you have voted?
I would have went with Post. Post Malone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I respect it.
Yeah, Brockhampton, like, figure your stuff out. Like, how many people are in your group now?
They don't even know.
Vocalists, I think six. I think I can identify six.
Yeah, Kevin. Yeah, Merlin. Joba. You got, shoot, what's his name?
Bareface.
Yeah, you got Bareface. You Matt got Champion. Matt Champion's who I was thinking of. You got Dom.
I think that's about it, right? Six?
Yeah.
I think that's six.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I don't know. You saw them. How many were on the stage?
I'm pretty sure there were six. I don't know. They're all wearing the same thing, jumping around.
That's true.
Slow down. Sing your songs. Stand still. All right. Final matchup of the day. Another heartbreaker.
I don't like this one either.
I think I start again. Cheap Queen by King Princess versus 1,000 Gex by 100 Gex. Man, I went to go see the Brockhampton concert recently, and 100 Gex opened. And let me say again, for the record, the crowd showed them so much disrespect. You guys, people gotta put some respect on the name 100 Gex. They are weird. They are bizarre. They are incomprehensible to the human brain, human intellect. They defy logic and reason. The very core of humanity rejects 100 Gex. You gotta broaden your third eye. You gotta broaden your soul. Open up your heart. 100 Gex is real, real fun, real weird. Cheap Queen by King Princess. The definition of a bop, though. The titular track, Cheap Queen, just flows. King Princess, I've done a complete 180 on. Her and Princess Nokia. I don't think Princess Nokia had an album this year, but both of them I kind of think of in the same sentence. Just because I did not like them at first, but they're some of the most interesting songs that I'm coming back to this year. Cheap Queen, the song, definitely one of my most played tracks of all time, or of all this year. So good. The whole album fills out nicely. There's a lot going on. There's fluidity. 100 Gex, I love you. I preach your gospel to whomever may listen. If you have ears, let him hear. But I gotta go with King Princess on this one. Dylan?
Yeah.
What are you feeling?
Man, I couldn't say it any better about 100 Gex. King Princess, I really, really actually liked that album a lot more than I thought I was going to. I don't know why. I think it's something to do with the... It sounds really, really good. It has really good production, really good vocals, really good, I don't know, melodies, lyrics, everything. It's really, really well put together. And it sounds really, really good. But I kind of like the weirdness of 100 Gex a lot. Like, just how, like, I love that, like, I'm an electronic producer. I love that, like, just crazy distorted like stuff and like weirdness that they got going on. I don't even know what it is, but I think I'm gonna have to go with 100 guests.
Wow, I never thought I'd live to see the day.
I'm very surprised too. I am pleasantly surprised. That's awesome.
Don't do my girl like that, Brendan. Don't do my girl like that.
I love King Princess. I love her album. I love everything she has ever released. Outstanding artist. But this 100 Gex album, I don't know what it is. It is like you took all of 2009, put it in a blender, and you just pour the sludge out, and you get this album, and it's so good. Every part of this album, if you like describe it, like, oh yeah, you know, they had this dubstep break, and then there's a ska part, and then they just start like doing pig squeals. It sounds so bad, but it is so good. This album is like, you had a great description of it. It defies all logic and reason, but it's irresistible. This album is so good. And it's such a fucking shame that, you know, you said at the Brockhampton concert, the fans just, like, they sucked. They fucking sucked for 100 Gex. And one of our fans on Twitter, was that Cam, said something about the exact same thing at a different show. The same thing happened. Wow. They're just disrespecting...
Killer Cam.
Yeah, shout out Lil Piss Baby on Twitter.
Jeez, I haven't got on Twitter recently. I'm missing everything.
Yeah, just disrespectful towards 100 Gex, and I'm not here for it. Yeah, so Dylan, I'm on the same page, dude. I think we're all on the same page. Peyton, you just like Cheap Queen a little bit more. Yeah. I'm going with 1,000 Gex.
Yeah, I feel... as always with 100 Gex, I don't understand it. Oops. But I respect it.
Nice. I saw that.
my subconscious clicked Cheap Queen through to the next round. Brutal. I'm happy 1,000 Gex is getting the credit it deserves. I guess. Man. I pulled a Brendan this week. I'm out of this quadrant. One of you two will be moving on to Final Four. We'll find out next week. Can't end on a better note than that, guys, I don't think. Let's see. Should we do a quick tally? I think each of the listeners got two left, so we perfectly cut them in half. Dylan, I think you're looking in the best shape for our side of the bracket, actually.
Sweet.
2-4. Me and Brendan only got two. Dang, Dylan. One.
Moving into
the lead.
I've got Pony Ginger 1,000 Gex.
Oh, dang. 4-3. Wait, how many albums we got? Two.
I mean, really, I wanted... When We All Fall Asleep, Where We Go. I wanted Thank You Next.
Well, we devised this saw competition to induce the most pain, much like that final decision. But it's all for the greater good. Guys, from the land of 10,000 hot takes, it's been Brendan Haley, Dylan Schemenauer, and Peyton Kaiser. We will be back next week for the final 16. Moving ever closer to the best album of 2019. We'll be back next week.